Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode. Some may call it episode 241 of Millennial Movie Talk. I am one of your hosts, Alex, joined by Michael.
Hello.
And also joined by Braden. Boys, I'm going to episode 241.
Hello.
This is the beginning of a new era.
Oh.
No, it's not. It's not.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to introduce something dumb. This is going to be something so dumb, and it's going to be a great way to get us into the show and talking to each other.
Okay.
Boys, I think at the beginning of every episode now, one of us has to come in with a question.
Okay.
It can be about anything. Whoever's, and I think every week it's a different person introing the show, and they have to come in with a question.
Okay.
And it can be about anything, any question regarding shit.
Okay.
All right.
Give it a whirl. And it's purely there. And we're not going to explain it every week. So next week, the next person just enjoys the show and then ask.
Chris is going to have no context.
Perfect.
And I think instead of me going, and with Michael, I think I just start the show. We go, hello, everyone. Welcome to episode blah, 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 blah. Michael, what's your favorite this? And then that, and then everyone answers after that, and that's everyone's way of being introduced for the episode.
Okay, it's like a less intrusive and less horrible like when you go to a uni course for the first class and they're introduce yourself, say a fun fact or whatever. It's like you get to know people without it being too much of a mess.
My question this week: what's your favorite meat for a roast?
Oh.
What's your favorite roast meat?
Oh.
Michael?
Now you see,
you will be judged.
For the longest time, it was purely pork because of crackling.
Oh, bad answer.
Oh.
But my answer is lamb.
Braden?
See, I was thinking lamb as well. And I think for under the conditions of a roast, I would say lamb wins out. Because, like, I mean, otherwise, like, chicken is, like, my favorite all the time. Favorite of all time. But a lamb roast hits different.
Well, I'm glad to see we got variety because I'm also coming in with the lamb roast. Because lamb is the best roast meat.
Yeah, and you're not biased at whatsoever.
Nope. No, why would I be? I love my family. Why do I want to see them be roasted?
But they're just so delicious.
They are good, and we love roast lamb here at Millennial Movie Talk.
That's you heard it here first.
Anyway, glad to see we got a bit of diversity this week.
There'll be more diversity as the show goes on, don't worry.
Three white people eating roast lamb.
That level of diversity isn't going to change, but like that's just us. We're sorry about that, but no, opinions will be diverse because we've got things to talk about where I'm sure we're all going to have different opinions on them.
See, this is a bit of a shit week, by the way, for me to introduce this because we all said the same thing, so there's no discussion or debate.
Yeah, I know. It's just like...
I mean, you can. Do you want to come in with a different one?
No, I don't because lamb is the best.
Yeah,
it's, like, if it's I was correct. To rank it, if I was to rank them, pork's down the bottom.
Ooh.
Pork is...
See,
I like pork, but the crackling's the only good. If the best thing about the meat is not the meat itself, then we're not hanging out.
To Braden's point, are you including roast chicken?
Well, you got it. It's got roast chicken in front of it.
Yeah. It's like a whole different bag, though. Like when you think of a roast, you don't tend to think of a roast chicken.
Well, no, a roast chook, but I do like a roast chook.
Yeah.
Now
it's just all
the
good.
The two bottoms, without a doubt, turkey.
Yeah,
and turkey and pork are just hanging out.
Turkey would be the bottom because when I think of roast, I just don't think about cooking a turkey like at all. Well, that is not even a part of my mindset.
The only time I think of having a turkey roll is Christmas.
Yeah,
yeah, and even then, like half the time, it's too dry.
I don't eat it. I don't eat the turkey roll because someone's cooked a roast lamb.
Yeah. I grab like the single slither of the turkey and then a nice helping of everything else.
Yeah. I was also going to come in with what's your preferred hot cross bun, but I think everyone's going to say fruit.
Yeah, because it's the correct answer.
Well, it is, but I found a new hot cross bun this year.
Please don't say it's the pizza-shaped one.
A new one?
It is not the pizza-shaped one.
Yeah, there is a pizza-shaped hot cross bun from Coles.
God.
So this year, I don't know, they could have done it the years before, but I found the apple cinnamon hot cross bun to be quite a treat.
That sounds good.
Quite an Easter treat, I found this to be.
Gemma is quite the fan of chocolate hot cross buns.
Okay.
So now, she's a child.
When you have a chocolate hot cross bun, are you just eating,
toast it.
Butter?
She doesn't, and when I have had them, I haven't put butter on it, but...
I feel like, that's blending two different worlds.
You just, you at least warm it up a bit. The chocolate's a bit, soft and stuff, and a bit melty in it.
Yeah.
It's good. It does taste good, but
I think we can all agree here. We can all agree here. Fuck off with your fruitless hot cross buns. What is that?
Just bread. Bread.
Brayden, back to your point. That's the child option. If you don't want sultanas in it, yeah, kid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the chocolate's also pretty much a chocolate.
People are allowed to enjoy their chocolate.
Apple cinnamon.
Yeah, that's nice.
If you can get a hold of it, it's quite good.
I'm sure anyone's going to be hitting that up over this weekend. We'll come back next week and discuss it.
Just go to Coles, get an apple cinnamon batch. I don't really go gourmet with my vendors for hot cross buns.
not a baker's delight.
I stick to your big two.
I love supporting a duopoly.
Yeah, I love supporting them so they can only increase prices and push out smaller businesses. But yeah, I'm glad we got some discussion around meat and hot cross buns. And now 7 minutes into this movie podcast, we can start talking about the content we love to consume.
That's it. Other than the meat and hot cross buns.
I can't wait to see whoever comes in next week to bring out a better question than meat and hot cross buns.
Yeah, has been set. The bar's there.
And I also realized halfway through talking about meat, this is my only week to bring up hot cross bun options.
So you're like,
Easter's over. What's your favorite hot cross bun?
It's out of date. Bless.
What's your favorite Easter egg to get? This is a good one.
I mean,
do you have one you get that you just go, fuck yes?
Yes, I feel like mine's the child option.
Oh, is it this?
What's the child option?
Is it this but big?
Oh, what is it?
Yes. A giant Kinder. Give me the giant Kinder surprise egg.
Oh my God.
Absolutely correct choice. These are good. Hang on. These are good.
My favorite form.
Little mini Kinder eggs.
So my favorite form of a Easter egg is definitely the larger but hollow egg.
No, I disagree. I like
because it's
the
not too
small
much.
Solid ones.
The small solid ones.
Hence why I have a roll of foil of them because I've been eating them today.
Amazing.
You mean these, bread?
How many Easter?
I won an Easter raffle and I've got a bunch of shit in my bag.
Are you off to church?
Do you mean
like
the ones that come in like the carton?
So there's these.
That's
right.
That sounds like
my
microphone.
That's my pick.
But then there's these.
Ooh.
I think this is what Brayden's talking about.
Oh. There we go. Yeah, I like those because they're just enough.
I'm going to have to back Brayden here. These are my...
There we go. We finally disagreed.
Didn't realize this. These are called hunting eggs.
The little ones, the kids can't find them, and then they're there until December.
For the audience around, if you're not Australian or UK, I guess, they don't really do this in America.
Easter? No, they're too busy shooting children in schools, I think.
Oof.
So they're hollow inside?
Yeah. Great amount of chocolate.
See,
I'm very jealous of Alex right now.
They're still a good option. They're still a good option. I can't say it's a bad choice.
That's it.
I prefer the little ones, but that's because I'm a little greedy bastard.
Because he's a little bitch. And that's it. So we will...
But my actual answer is Kinder. Any Kinder.
I will preface what we're going to talk about for the second half of this show, because that's the part that contains spoilies. The end of this episode, we will be discussing the most recent episode of Invincible. We want to talk about it, but we want to talk about it with all spoilers, so that way we don't want to stop you from being able to listen to the show if you haven't caught up on Invincible. So, last week, I was watching a couple films, and I hadn't finished one of them, and it was to watch a new film and actually appreciate it a bit more. I finished Ghostbusters 2, It's real good fun. Really,
it's a lot of fun.
It's really fun. It's really fun. The Statue of Liberty and everything. Great fun. Good stuff. Ghostbusters Afterlife. I fucking loved it. It was really good.
I think it's really good and a lot of fun. And I really think that it's one of the best uses of the bringing back a dead actor in CGI form.
I was shocked at them actually having his whole likeness there.
I thought he was there a little too long, maybe.
Yeah, but I feel like him being there for too long was the joke, because the joke was that all the other three guys were all looking at him for ages, and it, like, I mean, I could have done without it, but like, I didn't think it was too bad or like distasteful or anything.
Too bad.
I also just thought, like, the film itself, in terms of like all the franchises of the past that we've been seeing get adapted with like reboots or remakes or like new sequels, like legacy sequels, as we've been calling them. I feel like Ghostbusters Afterlife really, really perfectly walked that line of like, here's the deep cut Ghostbusters shit for the deep cut Ghostbusters fans. And this is also just a fresh new movie that you can just jump on. Because like, in terms of like cultural pop culture zeitgeist, everyone knows what the Ghostbusters is. Like, you don't have to have seen Ghostbusters to know of Ghostbusters. So for a new person to go watch Ghostbusters Afterlife, you could totally just be like, oh yeah. And because they give you everything you need in the film. She goes and Paul Rudd's like, oh man, the Ghostbusters, awesome. And they're like, what's that? And then she Googles it and watches the ad on YouTube back in the day. Like, I loved that. It was really good. McKenna Grace is fantastic as the lead of these films as well.
She plays quirky nerdy really well.
Really well. Now we'll just get into it. So I really liked Afterlife. Then we got to go see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, the new one.
I've changed my tune a little bit on Frozen Empire, mainly because I've had time to think about it.
Yeah.
So you've differed from when I talked to you about this the other day.
Yeah, I came out being like, that was a lot of fun. Did it make sense? No. Did everything work? No. But it was still fun. Now, I'm still very much on the fun part. I still think it's fun.
You're still team fun.
I'm still team fun. I think it was good just to see a movie in the theater, because we've only really had Dune this year, so it was nice to have a new one to go to the theater and see. And it is a big movie to sit down and the family can go see it, which is good. And it is fun, like we said, because I got to stress it's fun, because I can't say it's good, but I can say it's fun, which it is. Now, are there plot holes and things that are quite annoying for me? And I've just taking a step back to imagine the scope again, where spoilers for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, if you haven't seen it, you've had about a week, we're going to be spoiling it, but also giving our thoughts. I think this is just totally going to be spoilers. So if you haven't seen it,
yeah,
toodaloo. One of the big things that I that was brought to my attention was that Ghostbusters 1 ended with a big climactic scene on the top of the Empire State. Was it Empire State?
Top of the building that was the apartment of Sigourney Weaver.
On the top of the building with the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man going through the city, destroying everything. Ghostbusters 2 ended with a big climactic action scene where they literally bring the Statue of Liberty to life and walk it over to the final battle.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire ends in the garage.
Yeah, it ends in their garage.
Yeah, it's the final battle's in a garage.
Yeah. Yeah, once the final battle really starts, there is about a solid 20 square feet of movement.
Yes. Which is a little, I realize that it does make it seem a little anticlimactic.
Yeah, I can see that. It's like they give you the little bit of like when the ice is starting to take over New York. And, like, they have the, like, spikes and stuff, like, coming out of the ocean.
New York should have been in ice halfway through the movie.
Yeah, it was really late in the film, which was interesting.
Disappointing.
Because, yeah, it meant we didn't get a lot of time to experience
the main villain.
New York's been taken over by ghosts again.
Correct. A lot of the film was investigating this orb that the main orb. Villain was chilling in, which now I've come to think about it. They established quite early on that the orb's interacting with other ghosts and the other ghosts fear the orb.
Yeah.
And they decide not to do anything about the orb. They decide to keep it in the facility after it's caused blackouts.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm running a ghost containment facility and research facility, number one on my list, backup generator, which they don't have.
I think there was a line where he said the backup generator should kick in soon.
Nope. Because as soon as it went out, that power went out, I was like waiting for this backup generator to kick in. Yeah. And it never kicked in.
Oh.
So no backup generator in this facility. Trust me, I was really hoping they'd say it. nothing like that. But they established that the orb's bad and the orb's trying to talk to the other ghost. They have a perfect housing facility for the ghost in Kamau Nanjiani's wardrobe,
yep.
Basement, secret room, which is, they've said, is one of the reasons why the ghost hadn't escaped, because it was in this brass room.
It's where it's been this whole time.
I would have just popped it back in there until we worked out what we could do with it.
It's a very good call. It's almost like, yeah, that would have solved the entire film's plot.
Yes. Now, I know we need a movie, we need consequences, but great writers of great films give themselves no plot holes to get around it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's just like, okay, I see where you had a lot of fun ideas, but then we're like,
we also 100% have a film well thought out.
Yeah.
But yeah. Just think, yeah. But like I said, a lot of fun. I thought the middle dragged a bit. It took too long to get to the main villain, man.
Yeah.
I
thought they did a really good job of just sort of expanding on sort of what you want from a Ghostbusters movie, where, especially when it is the fourth in this franchise now, where, like, I think we said after the film ended, we were pretty impressed with how it managed to balance such a large cast.
Like, yes.
Like, it felt like everyone sort of got their moments. And it didn't, like, obviously, Bill Murray ain't in it a lot. That is not a shock to anyone or any. No one was expecting Bill Murray to be the star of this film. But yeah, I think they did a really good job of like expanding those relationships, showing how our characters have grown and where they're at now, where they're going to be. And
there was their chemistry works well. There was only one real poor use of nostalgia, which was the library scene.
Oh yeah, it felt like the laziest part of the film.
Yes.
It was like
there was nostalgia and callbacks, which were fine. Most of them felt
but
fun
like,
and fine.
With Afterlife, when they had the Muncher, it was like, oh, this is like when they had Slimer in the first one. And like,
straight out here, they got Slimer.
And then here it's just like, Slimer's back. Don't you all love Slimer? Hey, the little Stay Puft Mini Marshmallow guys are back and they're in the movie so much more. And hey, it's the librarian telling him to shush and then doing the exact same puppet jump scare.
I reckon they took that.
It looked exactly the same. So yeah, those little moments, like those were like the Slimer one I was fine with. The library one was like, okay, that's cheap. And then
the Slimer one you had to be fine with because it was Finn Wolfhard's only.
It was his entire bit of storyline that he got.
It was his entirely. Yeah, it was just. Oh, that's the only thing he got to do in the film was, have a couple of scenes confronting Slimer.
Yeah, which I kind of like, because it was just like, yeah, we're taking this character where we could have very easily gone with, oh, he's older now, and oh, the girl from the first afterlife is also older, and are they going to get together? Who knows?
I feel like it was a little bit wasted, though, them two being in the film. I feel like they're definitely the two that get forgotten.
Yeah, they are the two that get sort of pushed to the back of the
group. In terms of characters that you could have done more with.
Yeah.
Because obviously, like, the original three Ghostbusters are alive. Dan Aykroyd, he gets the most to do. And then Ernie Hudson's in it a bit more.
Yeah.
And he's doing a lot more behind the scenes.
He's a lot more of a force, which is, you don't exactly see him doing a lot in the film. But
yeah.
His force is always there because he's so integral to their existence.
Yeah. So yeah, and Bill Murray, everyone knew that Bill Murray was going to be in it for 5 minutes.
Yeah. And hey, he's really good in his 5 minutes.
He is.
But Paul Rudd
Kerry Coon.
Yeah. They're
good.
I thought they were good. Their chemistry is fun, and them having to...
Paul Rudd's just so likable.
Paul Rudd, man. Oh, just rude. Like, how can a person be so nice and lovable?
So I end up giving it 2.5 it's fun.
A big it's fun. I can't even remember what I gave it. I really enjoyed it though. I really liked it. It was fun.
Yes.
Is good. It's a good time. I liked it. I recommend it. I really enjoyed it. I was also very fresh off of just watching all the other Ghostbusters movies. So
I would say if you liked Afterlife, watch it.
Yeah.
Go see it. If you didn't like Afterlife, probably not for you.
Yeah, if you didn't like Afterlife, then no, this film is definitely not for you.
Yeah.
It is 100% about McKenna Grace's character. Like, and I mean, she's great, but...
Which makes sense. It's a direct sequel to Afterlife.
If you didn't like Afterlife, yeah, not for you. But yeah, I really liked Afterlife. I highly recommend it.
I watched a new movie on Prime this week.
A new Prime movie. That came out.
A new Prime movie. And I also watched its 80s counterpart.
Oh, okay. You did actually go... Okay. I'm curious to hear about that as well.
See, I saw that you watched one, not the other. I was wondering if you were going
to watch it. So I watched them back to back. I watched the 80s one very late at night. So that one I have less to talk about just because I was a little fatigued by watching that one. But I want to talk about the Roadhouse remake with Jake Gyllenhaal. And Conor McGregor.
Yeah, that's my main question.
So.
oh, no.
Is the movie great? No. Is Jake Gyllenhaal giving everything he's got to the movie? No.
that's not what I was expecting at all.
Is the writing good? No.
Oh, okay, yep.
Is Conor McGregor a good actor?
No. Yeah, not shocked.
Could I not take my eyes off the screen though the whole time he was in the movie? Oh boys, this man, he cannot act.
Oh.
But you can't take your eyes away. Oh. He is so much fun.
Is he like? Does he seem like he's really committed and into it?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay,
like, but it. Best part of the film is Conor McGregor.
Oh, wow.
His character, Knox, is just a guy that they call in about halfway through the film to deal with Jake Gyllenhaal's character.
Yep.
And you can't take your eyes off him. He's like some of his lines. Yes, his line delivery and that is just... But this guy's insane. I don't think he's acting. I think he's just Conor McGregor in the film.
Right, okay, yeah.
Like, the introduction to him is walking naked in Italy, and then he burns down a village, and he has...
Jesus.
His opening scene, because it's...
Can you show it on YouTube?
There's no penis.
Okay.
Now Brayden's disappointed.
You just got to hear his line delivery.
Oh,
but
God.
It's you can't take your eyes away from it. It's mesmerizing.
In like watching a like a car crash or
car crash.
Yeah.
It's like, but I just want to say, I gave the movie a 3 out of 5. The movie itself is extremely entertaining.
Better than Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
I would watch this again. That's how I had to rank it. Now, that's fair. It's actually a 2.5, but when I was watching it with someone, I said if this one thing happened, I would give it a 3. Oh, I'd bump it up to a 3.
And it happened.
And we got halfway through the credits and it happened.
Halfway through the credits?
Like the main set of credits.
Okay.
Like a post-credits here and it happened.
Okay.
It's the fight, the action is actually pretty well filmed. And I really like the directing and the style of the movie. It's from the director of a couple of the Bourne films and American Made with Tom Cruise that came out a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So Doug Liman, he also directed Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
So he makes good movies.
Hmm.
And I actually really like, and I thought that his actual filming of the action scenes worked well. Jake Gyllenhaal is having fun. He's not like giving it his all.
He's not taking it.
He knows what movie
seriously.
He's in.
Yeah. That's fair.
He knows which movie he's in. Can you hear this?
I can.
Cool. All right. We could get copyright. I won a copyright claim the other day, by the way, against...
You did. But the difference is that scene was in its entirety on YouTube, already posted by the company. So maybe just like if you can find just like a line and like...
Nah, the clip. We're doing it. Oh, we're going for it.
Brayden, you got to go big or go home. Come on.
Go big or go home.
Go big or go home. It's only Amazon.
You're already at home, so...
What did you say, bro?
I said it's only Amazon.
What yeah, is the him. Premise of this movie, by the way?
Oh, so Roadhouse is about a roadhouse, which is kind of like a pub on a highway.
Yeah.
Like when you see a diner in a movie. It's like when you're watching Madam Web and they all end up in a diner, which looks like it's for some reason stuck in the 60s.
It's like a country pub.
Oh,
whoa.
It's you guys.
Oh, is it like a country pub? Is that how you describe
that's,
it?
Man. Is that Captain Boomerang?
That's Conor McGregor. Which is funny because my mum watched a bit of this and she went, yeah, he reminds me of that Irish MMA fighter. And I went, Mum, that's him.
Mum, you're going to be shitting
anyway,
Bruce.
So it's about Jake Gyllenhaal, who's like a world-renowned ex-UFC fighter. This isn't pretty much the premise of the original one, but the original one, Patrick Swayze, wasn't a UFC fighter. It was just a guy that was known for killing someone. But anyway, he gets hired to come and help out this bar because this bar's just in constant fights and bikies rocking up. And so he's brought in to kind of sort out that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Conor McGregor's opening scene. So like halfway through the film.
Yeah.
So I'll skip through some of it.
Oh, his whole ass is out. Oh, so they like bend over and shit too.
Yeah. So that's just we can talk over this and we'll keep talking, and I'll just wait.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of just him. Hey.
Yeah. His facial expression is unhinged.
Yeah, he's very overly happy. Hey.
Yeah.
He does look very unhinged.
Okay. Jeez. Okay, that's...
All right, it's this line delivery here. It's
Man, he was not having a conversation.
I'll leave right away.
He had timing that he was trying to hit.
So... Bless. You just can't take your eyes off him throughout the whole film. He's having a lot of fun. And someone summed it up perfectly. He's just playing a Grand Theft Auto character.
Wow. That did look like a scene from a Grand Theft Auto game.
Like the ending to this movie is ridiculous, but so entertaining. It's just, the ending is just him and McGregor going at it.
Nice.
And it's so much fun. Jake Gyllenhaal is ripped to shit in this movie. I had fun with it. It's a great bad watch.
Yeah. It seems like the type of movie that like if I hadn't heard about it from you or anything, like I would have, like, my pa would have come over and he would have been like, oh, I watched something on Amazon Prime. It was really fun.
Holy shit. Like, oh, what was jacked.
It? Yeah, it's Jake a Gyllenhaal's lot of fun. Oh,
his wham.
Yeah. Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal got ripped for the movie.
Jake,
just look it up.
Gyllenhaal net worth.
No, not net worth.
Why whenever you search a celebrity, always it comes up with net worth immediately?
They dedicate a bit of time to a love story in the film that just which is a bit of a waste of the time for the runtime of the film. But yeah, it is a little too long. But it is a lot of fun, and I'd say just watch it if you want to have some fun.
Yo, good for... I feel like Jake Gyllenhaal didn't do this movie for the movie. I feel like he did it for the training regiment that he got to do.
And I'm not sure if anyone's seen the TikToks, the new meme of Conor McGregor being like, where the fuck is everybody? Like,
oh my God.
It's great.
That, no. It seems like the type of movie that would get memed.
A lot of fun. Yeah, a lot of fun and... some really, really funny, questionable one-liners too, which are great.
Ooh,
and the movie's ridiculous. Then I watched the original Roadhouse. The only thing I knew about the original Roadhouse is that he rips a guy's throat out.
Oh.
Which he did. And the line, I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
Jesus.
both happened within a second of each other.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, it was very 80s. It has a definite style to it. Mm. Patrick Swayze is the Swayze. And, yeah, it's a bit of fun. Check it out.
I'm watching the gif of him ripping a guy's throat out. I want to see it.
Swayze?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I can put that on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that does, one might be a bit far.
He does do that. Hey,
he rips a man's throat out.
That's wild.
Other than that, I've been watching Shameless still and still enjoying Shameless, might I ask.
Nice, nice.
Three seasons in.
Damn.
Go me. Three down.
I'm proud of you.
Eight to go.
Jesus, that's so many.
It is now. I just realized it. Oh my God. Just realized what I said.
You're really starting to feel it.
There's a lot more Shameless around.
Bless.
And did I watch anything else? I'm trying to. Yeah, no, that's it. Ghostbusters, Roadhouse. Oh, Zero Dark Thirty was on TV last night, and Dad and I ended up watching all of that.
Oh yeah.
How was that?
That movie's sick. I love Zero Dark Thirty. You know, just a movie about America being. America getting shit done.
Fucking action movie tough.
Just Americans hunting down Taliban.
Jesus. Goddamn.
Have you seen Zero Dark Thirty, Brent?
No.
It's very good. Can I just be like...
It doesn't seem like my type of film, but...
Do you know what it's about?
I mean, did you not just summarize it then?
It's a real life story about the hunt from Osama bin Laden.
Ah.
And they get him.
Oh, whoa. So it's fiction.
Because he's still out.
He's still out there. He's out there with Tupac.
I think it's interesting. I like a good investigation movie. And they kind of don't... what I like about the movie is that they don't shun away for showing you that America did pretty questionable things.
Okay, that's good.
To get information. So they do just like they do kind of go into especially in the first half of the film about some of their tactics for torturing bad people, might I add, but still torturing, waterboarding and doing all the shit, like locking them into rooms with no light and no food and no water.
Wild stuff.
Just to get information from it. So I'm glad that they do that, but like the second half of the film is they don't shy, like, I think, I don't want to kind of be like, the movie's not in the wrong at all for being like, America, we did this, because it's not really that.
Yeah. That's fair.
You know,
we did this.
Look at what we, and it's mainly, America being like, look at what we did.
Yeah, and look, and yes, was it great, some of what we did? No. But a lot of it's like centered around Jessica Chastain's character, who was a real life person. And it kind of delves into that fact that they were recruited straight out of high school into the CIA. Damn. And everything, and the only thing they've ever been put on to from high school was the hunt for bin Laden. So
wow.
It delves into a bit from they've been with the CIA for 12 years and this has been their only thing that they've been put on. So
God,
when you work your whole professional life towards one goal, what happens when
it's achieved? Like, do you just get like immediate like forever pension and you can just retire? Like,
yeah. If you find Osama bin Laden, you deserved. I feel like you deserve.
Yeah, I feel like you deserve to just be like, yeah, cool, we're done. Like,
yeah,
wouldn't you hate to spend 12 years of your life working on something and you get it, and then you come into work the next day and they're like, all right, cool, we got a new one for you. It's like shit.
Yeah. Yeah, which is more than likely probably what happened. They probably let her take a couple weeks off.
You'd hope for a holiday, yeah.
Yeah, go to the Maldives on us. Go for a bit of a holiday. Look, I think it's a very well acted, very well directed and very well paced movie. And the last 30 minutes where it's just the operation itself of going in to it, like, it's cool as shit. Like, and hearing... cool as shit in terms of how they filmed it, not what they actually, not them killing
people. It's cool as shit people. Watching them fucking break into his house, shoot up these people.
Well, I mean, look, they broke into a house hiding.
Yeah, it is a raid.
A very big mass murderer.
Yeah, bad dude.
Yeah, bad, one of the worst, some would say.
Yeah, did bad shit.
Yeah, and...
just a bit.
Yeah, and hearing the actual real life Navy SEALs who were on the mission talk about it, they did a pretty good job in... Now, I can't speak for the real-life Navy SEALs. Yes, if you're an American, they are a hero. But sometimes when I hear them talk about the mission and what they did, they're a little too upbeat.
Yeah, that's real like, cheery. Yeah.
Like I'm just like, all right, guys. I'm just like...
just take a step this back. This is,
you know... Can we read the room?
Yeah. And like, I understand, I understand they're a bad guy, but like, can you at least like act a little human about like taking other human lives, please?
Yeah. But I guess they're trained to be desensitized.
True. Very true. They are very desensitized. Yeah. Craziness. Bless.
Watch it though, if you want. If you don't, that's fine as well.
Fair. No. You know what I've been watching?
What have you been watching?
Everyone, because I mean... obviously, a little bit of a smaller pool in terms of the overall like society, but I work in a comic book shop. A lot of people have been talking about X-Men 97. Everyone in my general vicinity has been jumping on X-Men 97, the new follow-up show to the X-Men, the animated series from the 90s. And they were all saying, it's really, really, really good. And I was like, all right, I'll watch it. So I started watching the X-Men animated original series from the 90s because I was like, well, I want to watch the stuff before it to watch the new stuff. Thankfully, so there's 5 seasons of it. Thankfully, I've been told the 5th season, you basically don't have to watch any of it. Just watch the final episode. And then you can start the new one. It's like, okay, cool. But I am a season and a half through the original X-Men animated series. And it's good fun. It's really just like, I recommend just like popping it on in the background. Like you don't have to focus on it or anything. It was a 90s kids cartoon show. But like, they do a really good job. They do a really good job of adapting.
Do you have to watch it to watch the new show?
No, because like they give you everything you need to just start, but I really wanted to see how these characters had like been interacting and what they'd gone through before just jumping straight into it. But I'm really keen to watch the new one because I am hearing it's very good. Hopefully I'll be able to smash through 2 more seasons of the OG and then I can start the new one. And I think it was a 2 episode like season start and then 1 episode each week from there. So
yeah.
By the time I catch up, there might be like 3 or 4.
drip feeding us, are they?
Drip feeds.
Mm. Well, Michael, just like did you watch anything
us for this
note?
Episode? Michael, watch it.
Mainly me and Gemma just finished watching watching Ted Lasso. So a year on and the ending still hits just as hard.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it's a great show.
That's it. That's all you've been watching.
That is
nothing else. A lot of note.
Other than the thing we'll be talking about after, nothing else.
Wow, Michael.
It's just a lot of planning for our trip, so we haven't really been watching anything.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair. Why don't you just
watch Mr. Bean's Holiday and
just follow everything he does?
And just that's your itinerary.
There's our itinerary. Can. Done and dusted.
Can.
Mr. Bean's Holiday and what's the National Lampoons?
Rugrats Go to Paris.
Yeah, do that one.
You see, I'll just watch these movies. Tell Gemma, hey, I come up with an itinerary. I won't run it by it or anything. Mm-hmm. We'll just let it play out.
I want to assign you a bunch of movies where established characters go to Europe. So Mr. Bean's Holiday. Which is, you know, characters already in Europe, by the way. He goes to Cannes. That and what else? Rugrats Go to Paris is a great one. What else is there of in the obviously European vacation, as Braden mentioned?
Yep.
That's another good one to watch. What else?
Gotta watch Taken.
Well, Taken, he does go to Paris. He wasn't an established character, unfortunately.
True.
Movies.
Yeah, I just went to Letterboxd and searched for a list called Travel to Europe.
Characters.
And there's a list someone's made called Watch If You Were Too Broke to Travel to Europe During Summer that starts with Call Me By Your Name.
Okay, but they're not established.
Yeah.
We need established characters. Okay.
That's right. I'll watch Mamma Mia. I'll watch Mamma Mia too.
Oh, Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, Spider-Man Far From Home. Yeah,
I can do that. Oh, we will be in Venice. Europe?
Yeah.
There you go. You watch it in Venice, which would be a bit of fun.
Mamma Mia.
Now, a lot of these movies are giving me movies that are just set in Europe.
Yes, that's the thing I was coming up with as well.
Yeah. Oh, Paddington 2.
Oh, I still Paddington need to watch Paddington 2. 2. I still need to watch Paddington 2.
Paddington 2. European Vacation, of course.
Paddington 2, European Vacation. Yeah. It's my favorite Paddington movie.
Look, I could give you so many movies where just people go to Europe.
And
have fun. Before Sunrise is another good one.
Surely.
That's established characters and they go to Europe. They go to France.
Indiana
Jones and the Last Crusade. They go to Europe in that film. Cool. They go to Germany.
True.
There you go. Braden, Ocean's 12. They go to Europe in Ocean's 12.
Oh, but that's the bad one.
Yeah, but they're established characters that go to Europe.
Yeah.
They fit the criteria. The criteria had to be good movies.
Unfortunately, true. It checks out.
I'm trying to remember. There was definitely like a Chipmunks movie or some shit, like a sequel film where they went to
one of the Chipmunks movies, Michael. They go to Paris.
I would rather not.
But look, mate, if you're looking for other movies. Look, I don't know.
There's a plethora of
Mamma Mia. Mamma Mia 2 seems like they go to Greece and that. Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, I'm sure, too. I'm sure, you know, their pants travel. I'm sure they go to Europe.
I'm sure they hit Europe at some point.
Sure, those pants get to Europe.
Surely. Do you think the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants still, like, happened during, like, COVID and stuff?
What? Freight delays and that.
The pants got stuck in the Suez Canal when the boat went sideways.
Yeah, that's where the pants were.
Yeah.
They were freaking out, the sisters.
Oh, they didn't know what to do.
Yeah. Are we going to have to start again?
Bless.
Pants?
New
have
pants?
Whole new pants. We have to work it out again. It's just the logistics are a nightmare.
Yeah.
On working out these pants.
Goddamn. Should we talk about Invincible?
I was going to, Brian, before we jump into that, did you watch the Acolyte trailer?
I did watch it. I'm excited for it. Cool.
I'm in.
It's cool.
Did we talk about
it
last week?
No, we talked about how it was about
the poster.
It was just the poster. But now that we've got the trailer.
The Beetlejuice trailer?
Pardon?
Did you guys watch the Beetlejuice trailer?
No, I did. The little teaser trailer they did.
Yeah, it's cool.
The name.
I like the title. Beetlejuice.
I really like the title.
Because you got to do a third one now.
Well, I mean, they're setting themselves up, aren't they? But, I mean, it does feel like... I mean, yeah, of course General Take is in it. Like, who else are you going to cast in it? But yeah, I mean, it looks, I'm interested to see what they do with it. Very interested to see what they do with it. I mean, I'm here for just for Michael Keaton being Beetlejuice, but.
That's going to be interesting.
But yeah, I really liked the Star Wars Acolyte trailer. I think it's going to be really interesting getting to explore an era of Star Wars that we haven't seen on screen before.
I think that's what's keeping me on board with this. It's like when we got the first season of Mando, outside of being excited for Mando. It's because it was like, it was something we didn't spend heaps of time on.
There's only one thing. There's one new thing I heard about the Acolyte, whatever we're calling it.
Yeah.
That has made me somewhat excited.
Oh.
And was that they didn't use the volume at all.
It's just like actual sets and shit.
It's actual sets and locations.
Damn straight. It's what made Andor so good.
So I'm a little bit more on board.
It's not what made Andor so good, but it was part of what made Andor so good.
The only time we should be using the volume is when we're trying to get scenes that set during like the perfect hour.
Or just places that don't exist.
Well, yeah, they used it in the Batman for the perfect reason to get that to the scene between him and Catwoman during like sunset, like the like that is great because that saves so much time.
Yeah, you can't feasibly actually shoot that at all.
No,
unless
you feasibly can, it just takes forever.
It would take you like a week, and God forbid if the weather's different in one night.
Yep.
Yeah, so, it'd be crazy. But
great use of it.
It feels like it's going back a little bit to like it just the second you have multiple lightsabers on screen, it feels very prequelsy, which is fun. So I'm interested to see how they do
that. The best. We like the prequels.
And I'm interested to see what's her name from The Matrix? Carrie Ann Moss. Yeah.
Carrie Ann Moss.
She looks really cool in it. The guy from Squid Game is there. And, yep, looks exactly like him. I'm just excited to get a bunch of, like, cool side character Jedi. Like, we're going to get a Wookiee Jedi and a bunch of other people. So that should be good fun.
We're getting the fucking, like, yellow-coloured lightsabers.
Yes!
Like the Guardians or whatever they're called that have those.
Yeah. It's gonna be cool. I love it. I love the yellow lightsabers. Give me different color lightsabers. They're great. And we have a character who is hunting down Jedi, which is cool to see dark side stuff like that. But I'm interested in it. All right. Invincible. I'm very fresh off it. I like just watched it. So.
Yeah, so did Michael I. I watched it just for the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
I purposely planned when I was going to watch
it. Sorry. You guys don't watch it the day it drops.
I completely forgot it existed until this afternoon when I went, oh shit. Because I was like, oh, I need to make the thumbnail for MMT. And I went to change the thumbnail and went, oh shit, I need to watch Invincible.
Haha.
It was like a double fake out for those of us who haven't read the comic. Like, I was not expecting Rex to just actually get shot. I felt like the cliffhanger from last episode was totally one of those things where it's like, okay, someone else is going to show up and is going to stop it from happening.
Well, after Alex talking about how like much of a joke that Lizard League?
Yeah.
Yeah. How much of a joke that I was exactly waiting for that. And he's just like, go on, do it. And pop.
Oh.
I was like,
oh, just.
I want to preface by saying, so. Everything with Rex, comic accurate.
Yep.
Him getting shot in the head, then him surviving being shot in the head.
Yeah, why?
Oh, just a little squirting.
Oh, with the King Lizard.
With his bone stump.
Oh.
What was new was Shrinking Ray surviving.
Yeah.
In the comics, Shrinking Ray just dies.
Oh my God.
In the comics, Shrinking Ray just fucking dies.
Yeah.
In that part. She just gets eaten and that's... Oh, he. In the comics, it's a he.
Yeah.
Yeah, she practically rebirths herself through the neck hole.
Yeah, comes out of the neck hole and it's like, oh shit.
Yeah, that was... I was not expecting that.
Yeah, so that was new.
Yeah,
I'm glad they mix it like pulling things like that on.
Yeah.
Keeping guys like you surprised as well.
We love Rex.
Well, I mean, like Rex. That and obviously the like ending of all the like Martian and the squibbly dibs, those things. Like, those were our like big action set pieces for the episode, because then the rest of the episode just got real sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about real emotions.
Oh, it was a real feels episode.
Yeah. With Amber and Amber and Mark are not longed for this world.
Yeah.
Together. Mm. But we did get introduced to Space Racer.
Yeah.
We did. And the Infinity Pistol. Is that what it's called?
Sick.
Yeah.
It's wicked.
It's like all the novels are actually tales of actual things that can harm Viltrumites.
How cool is that?
It's really
cool. And they didn't sell well.
They didn't sell well. They were bad books.
It's all real.
I told him I liked him, but I didn't read him.
Yeah.
This is all real sci-fi and no one cared.
Yeah, this is real actual sci-fi. Nah.
Bad. He made money off his travel books.
Yeah. Goddamn. So good.
Oh, yeah. That's something I've always loved from the comics, is that he wrote about his real life adventures, which you'd assume would be fucking sick, which they are, but they just didn't sell.
Yeah.
And then you've also got the beast that can just murder people.
Viltrumites, yeah, because of the gravity on their planet. They're super strong. So
It's
been since Thursday since I've watched, so I'm trying to remember what else. We had Alan talking
to Alan stuff was back. Great.
Alan and the Immortal.
Yeah. He's just like, why? Oh. I just got here. What are you doing? The Immortal's just heartbroken and just a mess.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a mess.
Oh, man. But, man, tell you what, in these past two episodes, they have completely done a 180 on, like, Rexplode just being a shithead. Like,
He's great.
He's so likable.
He doesn't like the internet.
Yeah, I agree. Like, man, in two episodes, they turned him around for me, 100%. Like, he was fun, but, like, he was a fun shithead.
He was a dick.
But now he's just, like, I really feel for him and, like, I understand him more. Like, it was great.
He hit you with, my life flashed before my eyes and I didn't like it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Like, this feels like a turning point for him.
This is why I think we're getting a Rexplode.
Well, I tell you what, Alex.
Origin story.
About 5 minutes into the episode, I didn't think we were going to be getting a Rexplode origin story.
I can also say that I had that exact thought as soon as he got shot. I was like, oh well, there goes the origin episode.
Damn.
I think we're getting one.
I hope so.
In this season break coming up. Because we've got two episodes left. Now, you would think that in the next two episodes, we're getting Soul Angstrom Levy shit.
Yeah, because that was what they teased with. And he's really been in the background. In the background, I mean, not around at all for a while.
Well, that's very much like the comics.
Okay.
He pops up, like, in the comics.
We started the season with him a fair bit.
Yeah, and... 100% like the comic. He comes in, he's got the big thing with him and Mark, and then he's setting up his machine, and then him and, like, he blames Mark for his disfiguration.
Yeah, shit goes wrong.
And then he fucks off.
Yeah.
And that's just like the comics. And then we have all this other stuff going on, and then he comes back.
Just enough for you to kind of forget about him, and then he comes back and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. We don't even get all this, like, extra post-credit stuff. That we've been getting in the show, like him getting his tailored suit, him going to some other dimensions to talk to some other people. We get none of that in the comics. He just goes.
It felt like a nice little Walking Dead reference in there as well for
not too much
Kirkman there.
Very possible next episode we get, if they sorted out the rights and they sorted out talking, we could get a Spider-Man cameo next episode.
That would be insanity if they actually managed to pull that off.
There's a whole comic dedicated to Invincible and Spider-Man hanging out. So I'm not sure if we'll get like heaps of it, but if they work that out, we could very much be getting a Spider-Man cameo.
You know what I hope? I hope personally that they pay homage to that moment, but it's not Spider-Man at all. It's like off-brand, generico, like parody Spider-Man.
Well, in the comics, he comes out of like a portal.
Yeah.
And you see Doc Ock's arm go to grab Invincible, and then the portal closes. And that's what we saw in Invincible. But then they released an actual comic of what him and Spider-Man were doing in
that world. That's cool.
So that's in the comics. I'm not sure if they're actually going to do that.
I'd be very shocked.
People were thinking maybe they do a boys thing.
Oh, yeah. If they're going to do a crossover bit, especially with all the multiversal stuff going on with Armstrong at the moment, like,
yeah,
that would be your time to do it. So,
That
is also Amazon, isn't it? Mm.
Yeah,
that would make sense.
I'm also just trying to remember. I'm gonna go back to Prime and see if there's anything we really missed throughout this episode.
I mean, the baby is being a baby.
Oh, Oliver! I accidentally name dropped Oliver last week, and I had to catch myself by talking about it more because I realized I hadn't named him in the show yet.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think that was a big deal about me name dropping him.
But no, I thought it was fine. I wasn't offended.
I just didn't want to keep going. Yeah. What else we got? Yeah, Oliver being Oliver. The astronaut coming back and still having a sequid in him. Very much like the comic book where we've all got the same question being like, did no one scan this man?
Yeah. Like, did they just go, yes, we did it. And all just walk off the ship normally.
Thanks, Russ. Go home. Highlights of this episode for Explode. Bit killing King Lizard with his bloody stump.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The whole moment, like when the guards rock up and he's just like, oh, I'm fine. And blood's just squirting out of every orifice.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the horror.
What else did we have? We had Alan. We had we caught up with Nolan being held captive by.
Oh, we did. Yeah, right at the end of it. So yeah.
Mm.
So that was cool.
It was a big thing on his books, and then Mark and Amber was sort of
The relationship, the
overlying thing.
Yeah, you had the dual conversation between Amber and Eve and Mark and.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
And I'm glad we got a bit more of art.
Yeah.
Because Mark Hamill's great, and also Art's just like the surrogate dad for Mark at the moment.
It was just like, he's just going to him because he doesn't have anyone else to talk to.
Yeah, he's got girl issues.
Yeah.
And we're getting a bit more, we got introduced to more of William, who was the guy that got turned into half a robot.
Yeah.
By the evil college villain in season one.
Yeah. And so. Donald being there, being really still off. Because we don't know how much he knows or where he's at right now.
Yeah.
After his apparent reset.
Yes. Yeah. And Alan's yoked, breaks a bed.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Alan fucking.
Fucking Alan's big.
Alan's dump truck.
Alan's yoked up.
Big. Yeah. Alan's a big boy.
Yeah. Add a third L to Alan, and then then you've got him.
Thick.
But yeah, excited for more Seth Rogen as Alan.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to more Invincible.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Give it to me. Inject me with Thursday's episode.
Pump it into my veins.
Pump it into my brain.
Damn. Damn.
Make me look like Armstrong with all that Invincible knowledge. But yeah, show's still great. Love the show.
It's real good.
Keep making it.
Do you think? I mean, you've read the comics, Alex, so obviously you're going to know the answer to this question.
Oh, come on.
Do you think Armstrong's winkness is one of those like head scratcher things? Like,
Braden, you can't believe you spoiled the comics for yourself.
Those little metal.
That's exactly how Mark takes him out.
Yeah, he gets behind him and he gets one of those, but it's bigger, and it goes, yeah. And it goes across all of his brain and his head, and he goes, ah.
I can't believe it was that obvious.
Man.
Hopefully Robert Kirkman changes that.
Yeah, hopefully, because that's embarrassing otherwise.
There we go.
Thank you so much for joining us for episode 241 of MMT Millennium Movie Talk, a movie TV show and WWE podcast. But I mean, WWE is going to WrestleMania, so we didn't really have much to talk about if you want. When WrestleMania happens, we'll talk about that more.
Next weekend? It's not this weekend. It's the weekend after.
Oh, okay.
Not Easter weekend.
The weekend.
Oh, I mean, that would have worked out really well because of public holidays and shit. Oh, that would be great. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Next weekend.
Next weekend.
So next episode, we'll be
talking about. Well, no, it is next weekend, by the way. Easter's this weekend.
Yes.
So
yeah, that's what
next weekend still the right terminology. Okay.
Yes. So it's still next episode.
Next episode. Yes.
We'll chat about WrestleMania. Cool.
Next episode would be a complete Easter breakdown.
Yep. What chocolate everyone get? How many did you get Easter in weekend. Your treasure hunt?
Everyone's got to watch Roadhouse with their family.
Yeah. Everyone's got to watch Hop.
I'm not watching Hop.
I'll watch Sonic instead, the exact same
Hop
film.
Or Rise of the Guardians, you must watch.
I'd rather watch Rise of the Guardians.
I've never seen Rise of the Guardians or Hop, so either would be a new treat.
Rise of the Guardians, Alex. Hugh Jackman as the Easter Bunny.
I used to get confused with that and the Owl movie.
Owls of Gahoo or whatever? Gahoo,
yeah.
I mean,
are they called like Guardians, Owls of Gahoo or something?
Oh, yeah. It was called Guardians, wasn't it? Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not sure if there's any other Easter movies. Passion of the Cross?
I mean, technically.
Easter
yeah.
film?
Yeah. Yeah.
If someone tries to convince me it's not an Easter film, then they seriously don't know their Jesus.
That's it. Get to know your Jesus. That's the takeaway from this episode. Thank you so much for joining us. Follow us on your podcast service of choice. If you can, leave a review, that'd be great. Subscribe on YouTube and leave a like and a comment and all that jazz. And as always,
I'm Alex.
I'm Braden.
And I'm Michael.
And we're out of here. Goodbye, losers.
All right, I'm recording in Audacity.
That sounded like the people from the beginning of Dune.
It really did, didn't it? It wasn't until as you went, that sounded like, I was like, oh no. It really did.